Happy Thursday within the octave of Easter.
Amen.
He is risen.
Hallelujah.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah, brother.
I am on duty, Terry. What about you?
I'm on duty, Jess. I love the Easter season, man. I mean, this is what it's all about. The world is so confused, and here we have the fullness of the truth. We need to proclaim it, because today we're going to talk about, well, several topics. One is Justice Clarence Thomas, a good fire, you know, good Catholic man. He fires a warning shot at the social media companies over free speech. Boy, we need that. Thank you so much. Number two, I got some good news here. The White House says Americans are not required to carry vaccine passports, that some of the governors in like Florida and Texas are saying we're not going to have that. So I'm glad that we're pushing back, because that's what we need to do. Also, the final segment, we're going to be talking about what they call Christology, the study of Christ. And why is it important to understand the divinity of Christ and his humanity? How does that all work? Incredibly important. Also, I've got some breaking news. I love having good, solid bishops and cardinals that are stepping up to the plate and calling out things. Cardinal Burke, he says pro-abortion politicians are in apostasy, automatically excommunicated. He's saying nothing more than what canon law says, but you know what I think's happening, Jess? He's saying it now because of the ambiguity that's on in the church. So I appreciate him as saying that he should know. He was at one time the supreme canon lawyer person in charge of canon law, so he should know. Also, Jess, you know I'm a baseball nut, and I know you've been to ball games. I've been to Dodger Stadium with your brother, but guess what? Fans should vote with their feet after the baseball Chiefs pull game from Georgia, the All-Star game, over election integrity laws, which they're trying to play politics. You know what I say to Major League Baseball? Nah, I'm done. No more money. This is what they're saying this now. All of these liberal people are coming out before they were behind the scenes. They think that you, as a person of goodwill, will do absolutely nothing. And my comment to you is, don't let them have that. You need to stand up for the truth right now in politics, in the faith, everywhere we go. So before we get into these topics, though, obviously...
Terry, I'll tell you I'm sad about one thing.
What is it, brother?
Is that baseball, to me, was the only sport that had not had been infected by the left.
I know.
And so I was like, okay, they got football.
Yeah, they got basketball. Yeah,
they got basketball. Okay, I said, okay, baseball's holding out. That's kind of an all-American, you know, pie in the sky, American flag.
Yeah, sure.
You know, hot dogs and beer. That was like the only American sport left that the left hadn't tainted. And now, like Dennis Prager says, everything the left touches, they destroy.
That's a fact.
Now baseball is the next casualty.
Yeah. And again, Jesse, the only thing these people listen to is dinero, money. We stop funding them. And again, I want to get to our soul food, but we'll talk more about this. But the bottom line here is we need to raise up an army of patriots. We need to raise up an army of on fire Christians to stand up to this culture of death. That's what we're trying to motivate all of our listeners to do. Don't be quiet anymore.
I got one more bit of good news before we do the soul food.
Yeah.
The Sunday Mass obligations at the Catholic Diocese of Nebraska, they're going to be restoring the obligation to attend Sunday Mass again starting in May.
Well,
and the Bishop Conley of Lincoln says, the reason all Catholics have a grave obligation of being physically present for Mass on Sundays and Holy Days is because the Eucharist is at the heart of what it is to be a Christian. So Bishop James Conley has made clear that the obligation doesn't apply if you or a family member would seriously compromise your health or if you contracted some type of a sickness.
And Cardinal Dolan in New York, much as I get upset with him on certain things, he's doing the right thing. He's bringing people back to Mass for the same very reasons. And you know what, Jess? What I think is going to happen, and I don't want to see this happen, but as in Europe, maybe 6-8% of the people go to church. I'm going to be shocked when everything's back to normal, how many people we lost because of COVID. And I think we're talking about souls, so it's obviously very, very upsetting. So that's why I think I give kudos to the cardinals and bishops who are bringing the people back. But let's get some soul food right now, Jess, for this Easter Thursday.
Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, and verses 35 and following. Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. The disciples of Jesus recounted what had taken place along the way, By the way, that's what the earliest name of the Catholic Church was called.
Yeah.
It was called The Way. That was the initial name, and then it developed into the name that we have today. But that's what they just call them, the followers of the way. That's the very first thing you see, like in the book of Acts and the Gospel of Luke. While they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. Then he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have." And as he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed, he asked them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of baked fish. He took it and ate it in front of them. He said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, the gospel of the Lord."
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
A couple of things that jump out at me on this walk to Emmaus that we see in this resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In verse 35, again, every time you see the word breaking of the bread in the book of Acts or in the Gospel of Luke, that's a direct reference to the Eucharistic liturgy, what we call the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, or what Vatican II calls the Sacred Liturgy. Also from verses, in verse 39, the Lord is proving that it's him. It's not a ghost. Why? He says, "Look at my hands and my feet. The nail marks that he's showing them demonstrate that it's Jesus' risen body, the same body that they saw crucified a few days earlier." And now, in Jesus' risen body, it's truly physical, but it's no longer earthly. What I mean by that, it's a glorified risen body. And what does that mean? It means now his body can't age, can't get sick. It's incorruptible. It's also endowed with spiritual qualities. And, you know, he can walk through locked doors. He can vanish at will, appear and appear and reappear.
Yeah.
And so there's no longer these limitations of time and space and the laws of nature like you and I have in our physical bodies right now. Also in verse 44, this jumps out at me, where our Lord says that he goes, "Everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." That's generally the three divisions of the Old Testament, okay? The Old Testament is divided into the, as Christ actually says here, he says the law, the prophets, and the Psalms, which are the, again, the book of Sirach, and the book of Psalms, those books that have wisdom literature. And finally, Christ in verse 46 talks about the fact, "Hey guys, don't you remember? I told you I had to suffer. This had to happen. This was part of the plan for the redemption of the human race." Now it's all clicking and they're saying, "Yeah, he did say that. He was warning us." And then finally in verse 47, which I think is the cash value of the whole thing, he says that the reason that his mission is essentially repentance and forgiveness of sins, and this should be preached in his name in all the nations. So who's supposed to do this? You and I. The Catholic Church dispenses the blessings of the new covenant through the preaching of the gospel, the administration of the sacraments, and now salvation extends beyond Israel to encompass all the Gentile nations. Terry?
Well said, Jesse. I want to apologize to the YouTube listeners. I just was texted. We're having some issues on YouTube, so we'll try and work to get that back on as soon as possible. But let's bring the smartest guy into the room, Archbishop Fulton Sheen. Full Sheen ahead. You know, during this week, Jesse and I have been talking about redemptive suffering. We've been talking about expiation, reparation, talking about Our Lady of Fatima, and in the five first Saturdays. Well, Bishop Sheen has it said well, and I've said this before. He said, "Every soul in the world has a price tag on it. Since many cannot or will not pay the price themselves, others must do it for them. There is probably no other way to account for the conversion of some souls than the fact that in this world, as in the next, their parents, their relatives, their friends interceded to God and won for them the prize of everlasting life. Jesse, you and I both know many people who have told us stories of their spouses who were against, like Elizabeth Lucier. Her husband was a atheist and not a believer, and she was able to offer her suffering with cancer and die in a state of grace and offer her suffering for the conversion of her husband, who not only became a Catholic, he became a Catholic Dominican priest. And so this really does happen, what Bishop Sheen is saying. That's why I want to encourage all of us. Every action is like a blank check. And so if Christ's name is on it, it has infinite value. And remember what the little flower said, to pick up a pin for love can convert a soul. It is Jesus alone who can give such value to our actions. Let us then love with our hearts. Just powerful stuff. And that's our faith right now. Every day we can offer our whole lives to Christ. There's nothing better than that.
Hey, this can only happen because we are in Christ through baptism. That's the only reason it can happen.
Our baptism. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Justice Clarence Thomas fires a warning shot at social media. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Speaking the truth in charity.
Amen.
Terry, there's a hero out there in the Supreme Court, and it's not Justice Roberts. To me, the one that's standing in the gap for all of us.
Yes.
He's trying to standing in a gap. That's a phrase in the Bible where you get a holy person to stand between a wicked people and God's wrath.
Mm-hmm.
Who is that? Justice Clarence Thomas. He's standing in the gap for this country.
I agree.
In the Supreme Court. And again, he's a leader amongst the lay people because he's a lay person. He's not clergy. Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, he raised an eyebrow over a statement.
Mm-hmm.
He was appearing to warn social media companies that the rights to censor objectionable speech might be curtailed soon. And we know it here on Virgin Most Powerful. Okay, I don't want to mention the players, but yeah. Big Brother's watching what we
everything
say.
Everything we say.
So Justice Thomas made his thoughts known in a 12-page concurrent opinion on a Supreme Court decision that considered whether former President Donald Trump had acted unconstitutionally when he banned several people from following his now defunct Twitter account. And the lawsuit was ruled moot because Trump had been permanently banned. But Justice Thomas, he's meditated thoughtfully that the argument from the plaintiffs were undermined. That's Trump and his staff. His arguments were undermined by the fact that Trump's social media accounts were later suspended by numerous social media platforms. So Thomas has then questioned, Justice Thomas, whether those companies weren't in violation of free speech.
Which I think he's right. Yep.
When they censored the use of their platforms.
Yep.
Justice Thomas said this, quote, "Today's digital platforms provide avenues for historically unprecedented amounts of speech, including speech by government actors. Also unprecedented, however, is the control of so much speech in the hands of a few private parties. It's called a monopoly. It's called an oligarch."
Back up for just a minute. Tell the people what percentage of the media is covered by just, seven different companies?
There are 6 billionaires that own 90 to 94% of the mainstream media.
There you go.
And the social tech media.
There you go.
Okay? 90 to 94% of all communication is in the hands of 6 billionaires.
That's what he's talking about.
Oh, by the way, they don't go to Mass on Sunday. They don't live in the state of grace, in case you're wondering.
They're liberals,
they are.
Let's be honest.
And so Justice Thomas says, "We will soon have no choice but to address how our legal doctrines apply to highly concentrated, privately owned information infrastructure such as digital platforms. And Justice Thomas carefully considers whether social media companies should be afforded legal protection by the government outlined in Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act. And he laments that the current case doesn't allow for the court to address the issue fully. As Twitter's made clear, the right to cut off speech lies most powerfully in the hands of private digital platforms. The extent to which the power matters for the purposes of the First Amendment and the extent to which that power could lawfully be modified raise interesting and important questions. Terry, I'm sure glad that Justice Thomas is digging deep into this issue, because this affects all of us. And Justice Thomas concluded that this petition unfortunately affords us no opportunity to confront them. And Terry, as we know, the former president, Donald Trump, that I voted for twice, by the way.
Yep.
He said in an interview in March that Twitter did him a favor by banning him from its platform because he says he has a more far-reaching effect with people. What he's doing, he's writing written statements with a letterhead, like I think it's like Office of the 45th President, and he releases them, and they're basically going out to all these social media platforms because everybody wants to hear what he's saying.
Yeah, let me explain in real simple terms. You'll notice that on the radio, there's certain language that the FCC will not allow people to use. And I'm glad that they do that. There's control. But look at the internet. Look at the media on the internet. And you see foul language. You see, people say, oh, yeah, we're not going to put nudity on. They do. It's all over the internet. So bottom line is, where's the control? And here's the bottom line. With these liberals that are running the internet and the social media, they have freedom to knock off anybody who they don't agree. And I think that Justice Clarence Thomas is really hitting on something, and he's saying to them, be careful, because you know what? What goes around comes around.
Terry, what we have right now is a thought police culture.
Yep.
Okay? That's what we have. In other words, what you have is people of faith, patriots, and conservatives.
Yep.
Many people are scared to death of saying anything that's offensive or potentially
offensive.
You've
got to knock that off, Jesse. That's got to stop.
Of course it's got to stop. But this is the...
They're bullying us.
Yeah, this is what they've created in America right now.
I agree.
And so you'll have a lot of people
that,
you know, basically the left says jump and people are saying how high. Yep. You want me to do jumping jacks too? you know, there's some things that are untouchable for the left, like when you question anything that has to do with LGBTQ.
Oh, yeah.
When you question the jab.
Oh, yeah.
When you question the violation of the Seventh Commandment.
That's right.
During an election season. There's just some things that are just taboo. It drives the left crazy. And now, Terry, again, we're even seeing the left has so many people afraid. I've seen... you see it all over the sports world.
Yeah.
They have athletes bending their knee, Terry, to the LGBTQ agenda, to BLM. You also have bishops that I've seen with dressed in their clerics bending their knee, Terry, to BLM.
Yeah.
This is how bad it's gotten, Terry.
And they're counting on us to do nothing. They think, see, Jesse, all this was already done under the table. They all had this going on for years. They're strategically thinking that all good people like us that are moral people trying to live a Christ-centered life are just going to get in line and shut up and just have your personal opinions and never speak out. And I want to encourage our listeners, please, even if it means losing a job, even if it means... losing friends, all of the above. And my take on this, Jesse, is that when we're a follower of Christ, we are going to lose people who are our friends, so to speak, at work, because we don't do the bad jokes. We don't go to the strip clubs. We're moral people, and you're going to pay a price for it. You know what I'm going to tell you? Do it, because you know what? The benefits are out of this world. Those folks who want to live immoral lives, you know what? At the end of their days, they're going to have judgment like you. And I want to encourage you, our listener, to have this attitude, and that is repent and believe in the gospel.
You know, Terry, for us as Catholics, the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, encourage one another and build one another up.
That's it.
Just as you are doing.
You nailed
That's
it.
Exactly what we do on you all our it. Shows here on VMPR. We're trying to build up the body of Christ and encourage each other. And who's supposed to do this? Well, Fulton Sheen said in May 28th, 1972, he says, who's going to save our church? Yeah. Not our bishops, not our priests and religious. It's up to the people. You have the minds, the eyes, the ears to save the church.
I love it.
Your mission, laity, is to see that your priests act like priests, your bishops act like bishops, and your religious act like religious, close quote. That was a prophetic statement made
fired up,
in the shrine of Our Lady of Częstochowa, Pennsylvania, May 28th, 1972, by Bishop Fulton Sheen. Terry, here's something else.
Full Sheen ahead. Go ahead, Jess.
Here's a Protestant guy that actually fires me up.
Yeah.
Dietrich Bonhoeffer.
Oh, yeah, this is good.
He was a Lutheran pastor. He died April 9th, 1945. Speaking the truth cost him his life, okay? So he's in a Nazi concentration camp, okay? He's in this tiny village called Flossenbürg.
Yeah, this is great.
It's near the Czech border.
Yeah.
And he was there with six military officers who conspired with him to overthrow the Nazi state by force and take over the government. And so they're all being sentenced to death. So on April 8th, 1945, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a Lutheran pastor, he was given, you know, basically a kangaroo court. And they say, you're found guilty. So they sentence him to death by hanging. Well, like many of the people, you know, the other military officers that they were going to hang, how did they choose to hang them? To prolong their death? To be hung by wire.
Wow.
To prolong their death. So he was executed with fellow conspirators. But here's what he said, Terry, before they hung him. He said this quote.
This is powerful.
Silence in the face of evil is evil itself.
Repeat it, please.
Silence in the face of evil is evil itself. Yeah, yeah. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak.
Amen.
Not to act is to act. Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Hope God had mercy on his soul. I'm pretty sure he did.
Oh, absolutely. Sign me up. See, Jesse, this is what we Christians need to be doing right now. And again, I know that there's going to be a cost to all this. I mean, Jesse, I have relatives and friends who have paid big prices because of the way they stand for their Catholic faith. You know what? Look at our forefathers, Jess. Look at what's happened in the last 2,000 years. Do we think we're the first one that are going to make a sacrifice for following Christ? Give me a break. Just because we've lived through such nice times in our own lifetime, now we're going to have to suffer? Come on, bring it on. You know why? Because we have eternal life waiting for us by serving Christ and His church. That we need to put in our head. We have hope that the world has no hope. We have hope in Christ. Then you know what their hope is in? Nothing. The government, it's going to be crumbling. All of this is gone. The only thing that's going to last everybody, and you know it, is our eternal soul. And I think that it's time to call it out, and that's what we're doing here at Virgin Most Powerful.
Our hope, Terry, is that He lives.
Amen.
And because Jesus lives, because He lives, all fear is gone.
Yep.
Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all the arguments of the world are nonsense. Because He lives, I know that life is worth living because our Savior lives. Terry, St. Ambrose of Milan, he constantly said during Catholic funerals, he would say this, quote, "What grief is there which the grace of the resurrection cannot console you?"
Yeah,
he said that in every funeral.
That's
he
awesome.
Told the people crying, "What grief is there in this world that the power and grace of the resurrection cannot console you from?"
Amen. And you know what? I want to say a little prayer right now, Jesse. You've heard this. Jesus, Mary, and St. Joseph, I give you my heart and my soul. Jesus, Mary, and St. Joseph, assist me in my last agony. And the reason I say that, Jess, is because nobody gets out alive. And what you just said, our Lord has triumphed over sin and death. Evil does not have the last word. Let us cling to our Lord as we walk daily in this valley of tears and rejoice in His love and mercy. Jesse, you got me fired up, brother. What's up next? Hey, I know what's up next. The White House saying it's not requiring people to carry a vaccine passport. Just the facts here on the Terry and Jesse Show. on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. I'm fired up. You're fired up. Like us on YouTube and other means, and we'll continue to proclaim the truth and charity. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
St. Paul says, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own likings and turn away from the truth and wander into myths. That's exactly where we're at right now.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a little bright light that came from the White House. So, you know, when there's something good that comes, you have to mention it.
Sure.
And I think there it's because the White House has seen so many governors in red states are saying, I'm the executive, the highest executive in my state.
Yep.
We are not going to require vaccine passports. And I think that, again, they're reading the tea leaves, the White House, and they're saying, you know what? This is a losing battle. We're going against the Patient Privacy Act. We're going against HIPAA laws. We're going against now several Republican governors. And so I think that's why they have basically chose to kick the can down the road, so to speak.
Yeah.
The article says, White House says, press secretary on Tuesday said, that CCP virus vaccine passports will not be developed or supported by the Biden administration.
Good job.
Or be required by the Biden administration.
Right.
Coming after several GOP governors issued executive orders barring them. The governor is not now, nor will we, be supporting a system that requires Americans to carry a credential. There will be no federal vaccinations database and no federal mandate requiring everyone to obtain a single vaccination credential. This is what White House Press Secretary Psaki told the reporters last Monday. Terry?
And Jesse, here's the point. This is why I said earlier in the pod, in our show, on our radio show, that we need to push back. And I think we're awaking a sleeping giant. And even the White House is recognizing this, because you think about this. I like when they said our interest is very simple from the federal government, which is America's privacy and rights should be protected so that the systems are not used against people unfairly. That says it all. Thank you very much. She again said the government would provide guidance on private concerns related to vaccines. Now, Jess, you know this. Some countries have either proposed or are using vaccine passport style systems. But it has been criticized by the civil liberties groups who said it would potentially violate Americans' privacy rights while denying key services to people who are not vaccinated. And you nailed it. The governor of Texas, governor of Florida, they've issued an executive order. And Monday, they said, you know, we're going to bar this. So this is why it's a pushing contest, and we have to push back. Governments should not require any Texan, he said, to show proof of vaccination and reveal private health care information just to go about their daily lives, Governor Abbott said in a statement. I really appreciate that. Also, like I said, Florida, and you know what's interesting about this, Jess? Both of them are Republican, just a fact. They issued a similar order last week after criticizing the passports as a terrible idea. But now it's interesting. Jesse, who's the governor that runs New York? Is he a Republican? No, Cuomo. Oh, a Democrat. Well, he's rolling out a passport system. They call it Excelsior Pass system that would mandate people to show they've been vaccinated while trying to enter certain events and locations as like the Madison Square Gardens in New York. But it's not clear if this program will be used in other places. Now, here's an interesting comment, Jess. I don't usually agree with these people. Listen to what they say. The World Health Organization, but I do this time, said it does not recommend vaccine passport style systems at this time. Are you ready for what they're citing? Concerns about whether the vaccine actually is effective in reducing the transmission of the CCP virus, as well as the lack of vaccinations being done in certain parts of the world. Jesse, did you hear that? We've been saying that.
Unbelievable. But again, Terry, that's a point well taken that you may mention when there's pushback.
Yes.
And again, this is called, you know, this
Holy
is called in Catholicism, we call this solidarity. This is one of the
Poland 1981.
Yeah, we're supposed to all band together for the common good.
That, you got it.
So this is a classic example of solidarity of people of goodwill, not only Catholics, Protestants as well, people of goodwill, where we're all coming together under a cause that even just based on natural law, you don't even have to be a Christian. You don't have to be a follower of Christ. Natural law tells you that this is government overreach and that there's something fishy about this. I mean, this smacks, when you read in the book of Revelation, all the verses that talk about, you know, the mark of the beast over in, you know, Revelation chapter 19.
Sure.
You know, the mark of the beast, when you look at commentaries, it essentially says is that people who claim the government as their king and reject God as their king. So that's, if you want like a spiritual exegesis of, well, what is the mark of the beast? It's a person that would reject the social kingship of Jesus Christ and say, no, he's not my king. Caesar's my king. This president's my king. The United Nations is my king. The World Health Organization is my king. That's what separates basically people on planet Earth. Who is your king? Who is your be-all and end-all? That's what the mark of the beast means in the book of Revelation, chapter 16 and chapter 19. It's basically, is Christ your king? Or is the ruling Caesar, the ruling party, your king? And Terry, I'll tell you.
Tell me.
Had they pushed this through,
this
would have smacked like the mark of the beast.
Yeah.
It basically said, well, we know the people that say that the government is king.
Yeah.
It's those that have the vaccine passport. So I'm glad to see.
So am I.
Probably, here's what I'm thinking.
Remember,
prayers, I pray for Joe Biden's conversion every day in my morning prayers.
Yep.
And I'll tell you why it could have some powerful effects, because Joe Biden is a baptized Catholic. So I know this is, some of you may not want to hear it, but he's part of the family.
Yeah.
Okay. Now he's an apostate. He's in mortal sin.
Cardinals.
But he's part of the family.
Yeah.
Okay. Through baptism.
Right.
And so he has what we call in theology, he has a sacramental character in his soul. So when I and Terry, who have sacramental characters in our soul through the sacraments of baptism and confirmation, our prayers have merit and some efficacy upon another Catholic because he has a sacramental character in his soul. It's, in other words, it's easier for grace to fall upon him than if I were to pray for the Dalai Lama, for example. He's not a baptized Catholic. So again, there's more grace needed and more of God's work needed for him than somebody like Joe Biden. Terry?
Well said, Jesse. And remember, Cardinal Burke, you know, just came out with this pro-abortion politicians, which is Joe Biden, are in apostasy and they're automatically excommunicated. Remember what Fulton Sheen said earlier in our show, every soul in the world has a price tag on it. Joe Biden has a price tag on it. And since many cannot or will not pay the price themselves, others must do it for them. And again, Sheen said there's probably no other way to account for the conversion of some souls than the fact that in this world and in the next, their parents, relatives, friends, interceded to God and won for them the prize of everlasting life. I pray also for our president and vice president, for all of our government leaders, that they will have a conversion to Christ, because without Christ, it's chaos. And we're seeing that right now.
Yeah, Terry. And also, you know, in the Catholic faith, we also talk about the mark of the beast.
Yeah.
It's when you go back to the time of the first century when John the Apostle was writing about this.
Mm-hmm.
The mark of the beast was basically, there was coins in the first century that bore the image of the Roman emperor.
Right.
And so the Roman Empire, so to speak, having this allegiance, this allegiance to the mark of the beast, meant that you had ultimate allegiance to the ruling class, to the Roman Empire. So the same thing can happen right now. If a Catholic would say, well, I don't care what the perennial teachings of the church are, my allegiance is to the United Nations, or my allegiance is to this White House, then you would be somebody who is bearing the mark of the beast. Because the only people, as Catholics, the only person whose image we should bear is Christ and follow his social reign upon earth.
Absolutely, Jesse. Well said. Dr. Sandoval is in Studio B. He doesn't know it yet, Jesse, but I'm going to ask him to join in on this.
Absolutely.
Because I want to have people realize the benefit of having a doctor like Dr. Sandoval, but also who he has is working with spiritual warfare. So at the break, I'm going to push him to come on and join us. Jesse, this was well said. And when we come back also, I want to talk about something very important, and that is, we call it Christology, the study of Christ. And I'll just mention, why does the Jesus divinity matter? Are you kidding me? This is something that, and I'll just say this right now, we have to be precise in our language when we talk about Jesus Christ. I'll give you an example, Jess. People say that Jesus Christ is in the bread. No, he's not. We even hear priests talk like that. But they're not right, because
a lot of songs say that.
Songs that we sing in church. But you see what that does? It's not, no, it's under the appearance of bread and wine. Jesus is not in the bread. Okay, and so why is this so important? Because over the last 40 or 50 years, Jess, you know, you and I know it, we've been very sloppy about our language when we talk about Jesus Christ. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about his divinity and why, you know, this is a really a fight against Arianism. And we think, well, that was 1,500 years ago. No, Arianism, who doesn't think that Jesus is God, is alive and well. Talk to some Jehovah's Witnesses and you'll find out.
They recycle his arguments.
Exactly. Nothing new under the sun. So we're going to talk about that, and also bring on Dr. Sandoval to talk about what he's going to be talking about. Again, folks, you can check out all of our shows by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or get our free app, because some stations don't carry all of the different ones that we publish here at the Virgin Most Powerful Radio. When we come back, we'll talk about why is it important that we understand that Jesus Christ is the God-man. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. I always say we're too blessed to be stressed. We're too anointed to be disappointed. And if hope was money, we'd be billionaires. Don't turn that dial, Dr. Sandoval. I'm going to get him back. You're going to love what he has to say. God bless you. Right back.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jess, we've got the good doctor in today, and I know we're going to be talking about, my headset's not working on this one, but that's okay, about the Christology 101. Why does Jesus' divinity matter? Dr. Sandoval, then we're going to ask you about your program that's going to follow our show. Go ahead, Jess.
Let me tell you how I met Dr. Sandoval, okay? 2019, I went over to Denver, Colorado,
yeah,
to take a week-long course on healing, deliverance, and exorcism. And they had a late section and they had a pre-section. It was very well attended. It was hosted by Father Chad Ripperger and his team, Kyle Clement and Dr. Dan Schneider. That's where I met Luis, okay? Because I'm like, oh, hey, there's another Mexican guy. What's another Mexican guy?
I love it.
Learning about this stuff, you know, from a Thomistic perspective.
Sure. Right.
So as we're walking in, we hit it right off. You know, it was a whole barrio thing. Like, hey, I'm from San Fernando. Oh, I'm from Santa Ana and stuff. So we got to talking, and I saw that, man, this guy's a serious Catholic.
Yes.
He was going to be a priest. He was in seminary for several years. God, you know, showed him that he had other things for him planned, a vocation for marriage. He went on, got a PhD, but he's still a serious Catholic involved in this field, so much so that, again, on his own dime and on his own time, here he's training on his own on understanding Thomistic philosophy as it relates to mental illness and the diabolical. That's where I met him, Terry. When I got back, awesome. I said, Terry, I got a real gem I met this weekend.
Yeah.
We got to create a slot for this guy.
Yep.
And the next is his, and after everything's history from there.
You know, it's funny. When I saw Jesse at first, I didn't recognize him. And I didn't know who, it was kind of like Jesus on the road to Emmaus. I'm not saying Jesse's Jesus.
Yeah.
But I saw Jesse and I said, hey, it was the same thing where I'm like, why is there another Hispanic guy over here? You know? and so I went up to him, like, hey, how you doing? I introduced myself, and we got to talking, and Jesse was so humble. He didn't tell me, all he said, hi, I'm Jesse Romero, this is my wife. And as we got to talking more, and he was like, I've written a couple books. And I was like, my eyes opened.
Yeah.
Like the apology. I'm like, you're Jesse Romero. Yeah. I've seen you. I know who you are. You know, recognize somebody out of context, but it was so fun to see and so great to meet Jesse. And it was such a good time because ultimately, if you guys don't have Jesse's book on The Devil and the City of Angels.
Oh, my gosh. That's,
you know, if anybody doesn't have that book, Jesse Romero, Devil and the City of Angels, that's the kind of there's no Thomistic in there because that's barrio deliverance. You know, that's the deliverance we know. So to be somewhere where there's Thomistic is pretty amazing.
Let me jump in and say this Christology 101, we're going to move to tomorrow's show. I want to talk a little bit about spiritual warfare and mental illness and how do the two mix.
So, you know, it's great that you mentioned that because the show that's coming up, it's called the Holy Hour Challenge. And what I was going to talk about, if you've listened to my show, we talk about mental health, we talk about some physical health, but we really want to talk about spiritual health because people forget. And if you read about what St. Paul tells us and what the Bible tells us, mm-hmm. our sin actually makes us physically ill as well. And it can make us mentally ill. So when we sin, we think, I just got to go to confession. But we never equate that with, why am I depressed? Why am I anxious? Mm. What's going on there? And we got to remember that Jesus can heal that as well. But like Father Ripperger says, we got to stop sinning. When you stop sinning, that's actually the start of getting to know Jesus. Mm. Why does Jesus' divinity matter? On my next show, here's what we're going to do. I'm putting out a holy hour challenge. We're going to do 12 weeks, 1 hour each week. And the goal of this holy hour challenge is going to be specifically for healing. Because what I want to tell all of our listeners is when you do a holy hour, we go in there and we know that we're sinners and we want to be purified. But the reason for this challenge is I want to see if we can do a holy hour once a week for 12 weeks, mm-hmm. what did Jesus heal for you physically and what did Jesus heal for you mentally in that time? Because Jesus is going to take care of us completely. Jesus' divinity is important and his humanity is important because he's going to understand as well that there's physical illness. You think Jesus never had a cold? You know, mm-hmm. I mean, these things are going to happen. And I think through holy hour, through his divinity, he can heal our bodies because that's why he's the God and the man at the same time.
And the way to hear it is by going and getting our free app for your smartphone, going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. It's free. And that way you can hear all of your shows, not just those, but all your old shows. As a matter of fact, any of the shows that we have on Virgin Most Powerful. Jess, what are your thoughts about what the good doc just said?
Well, I like what Luis just said right now. See, a lot of people oftentimes, when it comes to spiritual warfare, they focus on the wrong thing. Mm. They want the pain to go away. They're like, help me, make the pain go away. Please give me an aspirin. Give me a placebo. This hurts. Make it go away. Where Father Ripperger and Dr. Luis Sandoval, who's trained in that area also, they realize that what we need is not focus on the negative, the sin, but work on virtue. Once you start pursuing a life of holiness, that is the medicine for mental health, for the cessation of diabolical affliction. Pursuing a life of moral goodness, a life of virtue, a life of prayer. So at Liber Christu, they focus on not taking the pain away, so to speak. It's on making the person a saint by reorienting the person's intellect, strengthening their will to master their passions. Mm-hmm. And this way that takes care of the problem. And I love to hear Dr. Lee Sandoval talking about this week after week, because again, he's coming at this from the angle that the Liber Christu methodology, which is, instead of focusing on the demon, let's focus on Christ.
That's exactly right. Because with this Holy Hour Challenge, what it's going to be is, when we're doing this Holy Hour, we're actually going to, just like Jesse said, we're going to focus on the virtues of faith, hope, and love. Because the virtues bring us to moral excellence. If we have moral excellence and we have the virtues, that's how we mature. And once we do that, the demons won't even be near us. There's that big draw that people get. You know, they always say, if you talk about the devil, you're going to draw a crowd. And that's actually the opposite of what we really want. We don't want to give the devil any due. Amen. You know, we don't want to give him more spotlight time. what we really want to do is if we can focus on our virtues and getting stronger, we're not going to need any of that. And in fact, since when we stop sinning, that's really where our mission with God starts. We stop sinning, we focus on the virtues, we get stronger. Our lives are actually going to get exciting in Christ.
And for the benefit of those people who don't know your background, Doctor, can you just share a little bit of your background, education,
absolutely,
plus your spiritual
so
life?
So I did my undergraduate studies, and I got a bachelor's in biology. Mm-hmm. Like Jesse said, I went to the seminary, but discerned out of the seminary. I'm now married. I went to medical school and finished medical school, and I did my specialization in both family medicine and psychiatry. Mm. So I'm double specialized. I kind of have the whole gamut of mental health and physical health. So, you know, in family medicine, we'd say we treat from the womb to the tomb, right? You treat the babies, you treat the families, you treat everybody. And then in mental health, I'm a general psychiatrist, so I can prescribe medication and I can do all that as a doctor. But I'm a general psychiatrist because, again, I can treat everybody. So I look at child psychiatry, I look at adolescent psychiatry and adult psychiatry.
And Dr. Sandoval, isn't it true that some of our listeners who are listening right now who have maybe some issues with their mental health, that sometimes it has nothing to do with the devil, but it's some kind of a deficiency in their brain chemistry? It could be a number of things. Am I onto something?
Absolutely. So, you know, when we treat medications, we're always trying to balance the chemistries in the brain, the serotonin, the norepinephrine, the dopamine. We're trying to get those in balance because when the brain chemistries are off balance, it can cause different things and different symptoms. So it can be anxiety, it can be depression. We cannot attribute everything to the devil. And that's one thing that it can be challenging for us because we like to think, oh, if I get rid of this, that's it. But sometimes that's just what it is. But what I can tell you is that we can always attribute healing to focusing on virtues and growing in Christ.
Amen. Hey, I just want to remind everybody, Father Don Calloway this Saturday, Mercy Sunday weekend, he's going to be here with two classic presentations at 11 a.m. here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. You can watch it on YouTube or you can hear it on our app. That's this Saturday, April 10th. Also, May 15th, mark your calendar down, Evangelization for the Third Millennial, a free virtual conference on how to share your faith with anyone. I'm going to be the person who's presenting it. It's been a best-selling book for almost a decade now, and I want to share with you because we need to be able to be evangelists in this world that acts like God doesn't exist. And the final thing, June 12th, Jesse Romero will be here for the Catholic Men's Conference. We have a great conference set up for that. So look on the calendar, look at our website, Virgin Most Powerful Radio, under conferences. Jesse, your final thoughts with the good doctor.
Yeah, let me just add, Dr. Lewis, and some people, I think what they don't understand is Catholics also, I think we've been kind of, there's been kind of a brainwashing as a result of Protestant Pentecostalism, which has come into the Catholic Church. Oftentimes, Catholics think that, wait a minute, unless I'm perfectly healed of body, mind, and soul, something's wrong. This is not normal. Maybe let me run to the Protestants so they can lay hands on me because everybody gets healed by Benny Hinn and the TBN channel. I think what a lot of Catholics have lost, Dr. Lewis, and correct me if I'm wrong, they've lost the understanding of redemptive suffering, that suffering actually, helps us grow in holiness. Can you speak about that the last
time? Absolutely, because one of the challenges that we have is that somebody wants a pill for everything. And people come and they say, oh, I don't feel good. I need a pill for this. I need a pill for that.
Right.
And what we got to remember is that, yes, as doctors, we want to heal and we want to give you whatever medication we can to heal different illnesses. But we are not on this planet. We are not on this world to not suffer. And we have to remember that. Our Lady has told us that in the apparitions. Our Lord told us that. And more by example, this last week was Holy Week. God himself suffered for us. There is redemption in suffering. That is how God redeemed us. And that's how we redeem ourselves. If I can do a little bit of fasting, if I can do something where it's going to hurt a little bit, where I have to fight my own nature that wants everything. And, nowadays we want everything in a click of a button. I want it today. I want it delivered tomorrow. I want it delivered right now. We got to take that time to step back and realize if I'm suffering, if I'm not feeling good, God takes this from us. I wasn't meant to be happy in this world. In this world, I'm making up for that sin of Adam and Eve. In this world, I'm making up for my own losses and my own deficiencies. That suffering, like Jesse nailed it on the head, that suffering is what's going to bring me closer to Christ and actually might help in the communion of saints. I might be helping somebody around the world, and I don't even know that, by suffering here today.
I want to recommend all of our listeners to get the free app for Virgin Most Powerful because after the Terry and Jesse show, the good doctor is going to give a whole hour presentation every Thursday And after what you've just heard, I know you're wanting to join us. So you can watch it on YouTube or get the free app. Jesse, wrap it up, brother.
Don't forget, there's only two states to live in. The state of grace. Do not live in the state of mortal sin. If you like what you hear, then like us, hit the subscribe button, hit the bell to be notified, and share this show with others. And as St. Peter said to us in the book of Acts, brethren, save yourself from this corrupt generation. Terry.
Well said. And don't forget, Father Don Callaway, wonderful Catholic priest, will be here on April 10th, which is Saturday, a Divine Mercy conference with him on the internet. You can get that through virginmostpowerfulradio.org. And I just want to encourage all of our listeners to stay tuned to the Dr. Sandoval show, because you probably heard just a little bit of him. You're going to want to hear him every week here on Virgin Most Powerful. So download the free app by going to our website, virginmostpowerfulradio.org. May God richly bless you and your family, and full sheen ahead here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. God love you.